Good afternoon. That's not how I usually start. No, you're like, that's not how we. That's not how easy you do that. No, so you start with okay. But all right. Good afternoon. Parsha Tzav. Here we go. We'll see. I don't know. You guys are gonna help me today a little bit. I need your help. Last week we learned about korbanos, where we started learning about different types of korbanos, right? And now we're still learning about korbanos. And the Torah, the parsha begins like this: "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'Emor, Tzav is Aaron b'espanav l'Emor zos taras ha'ula." So Hashem says to Moshe the following: "Command Aaron and his children as follows: Zos taras ha'ula. This is the halacha, the Torah of the Ola." So we learned about other types of korbanos, and now we're talking about the korban ola. What's unique about the korban ola? What's different about the ola as opposed to other types of korbanos?
Fully burned.
Right. Shlamim, you eat some of it. The khatas, the kohanim eat some of that. Ola, entirely destroyed, you might say. That sounds like... Even the bird, that was like, you can bring, you know, different carbon, like achatas can bring achatas from a bakar, a tzon, or an oaf. But those are still, parts of it are still eaten by the kohen. But the ola is unique in that it is totally destroyed. Okay. It's burned entirely on the mizbeach. Okay? Okay. This is the Torah sa'ola. Hi ola mokta mizbeach kol alayla, ara boker ve'esha mizbeach tu kabo. Right? It's going to remain there, burnt, night, through the night till the morning. Vilavasha koimi dovar michne sebad yabasha basaro, and the coin's gonna wear his clothing. Verimis adeshen, asherto chala ish, esaula misbech, vesamoitza misbech. And it's a different halacha, the trumas adeshen, the removal of the, basically the garbage, right, the ashes from the night before. Well, that's basically, you'd leave the ola there burning all night till the morning, and then in the morning, the first thing the coin would do in the morning was he would take out the garbage.
We'll clean it.
There you go. Then he would change his clothing. Fine. And the Torah basically goes on and tells us the rest of the story that, you know, that basically there should be an Eish on the Mizbeach all the time. And this is the process of doing so. Fine. Great. What I want to focus on today is the second Pasuk. Because as we are being given this command to bring the korban ola, we're being given that command in sort of a unique way. How does that pasuk begin? Pasuk bet. Tzav is Aaron b'espanav l'Emor. There are not a lot of places in the Torah where Hashem tells Moshe tzav.
Command.
It's a very strong language. It usually says vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'Emor. Zos Torah Sola. And it's always understood that if God is telling you how to do a halacha, you are expected to do it that way, because that's what we call a mitzvah, that is commanded upon us to do. Right? That's what the entire Torah is mitzvos, right? So why in this moment does Hashem have to say to Moshe, or choose to say to Moshe, Tzav es Aaron v'espanav l'Emor, command them to do it in that way. Okay? Before I tell you anything that anybody else says, any thoughts about why this might be something that Hashem has to tell Moshe to be tzav as Aharon?
Because they weren't doing it that way.
Well, it's different than all the other korbanot. They were doing it differently for all the other korbanot. So he wants to, I don't know, differentiate and make it very clear you're doing this one
differently. Okay.
Yeah.
Why? Why would this one be, why is the ola have to be, you know, so, I don't know, like, why could have told the ola first? And then taught about the chatas and said, Tzav is Aaron by the korban chatas.
Why does someone bring an ola? I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Why does someone bring an ola? It's a good question. Why does someone bring an ola?
Chatas is frisky.
Chatas because you did a sin. Why does someone bring an ola? Let's take a look.
No, it's a very important.
I think
you can bring an ola. Sorry, I'm not hearing anything. I'm pretty sure. Oh no!
If it's not pertaining to your answer, then it could.
No, it's actually important.
Oh, okay.
It's important to know. So let's actually take a look for a second.
I should have had the answer to that before I walked in to start teaching you about this halach. I should have the answer, but that's okay. Sometimes you remind me. She is not loud. That is not what I call loud. Okay, I don't have an answer for you. I should have an answer. But I think a person can choose on their own to... Oh, no.
Does it say explicitly?
I'll define it for you later. But you, I believe an ola can be brought voluntarily. Mm-hmm. A person can decide on their own to bring an ola. It's not only if you do an avera, as far as I remember correctly. But I believe a person can choose to bring an ola at times. I think so.
Like ola, like going up.
It does have the language of going up. Yeah, what'd you get? What did ChatGPT tell you?
It's from AI.
What does it say?
Be mistaken.
Okay, right. Could be wrong.
Ola burnt offering is brought to the temple as a voluntary gift for specific atonements or during mandated communal times. It's entirely consumed by the fire on the altar.
Yes.
And representing total dedication to Hashem and, and generally following after a chatat in the order of karbanot.
Correct. So, ola would go after a chatat, that's correct. But you can sometimes bring an ola for yourself. Ola, what? Yes. So the point is, I think the point is like this. An ola can be brought in different forms.
And a ger brings
an ola. Yeah. There are different times you can be commanded to bring an ola, and sometimes you can bring an ola snadava. You can bring an ola because you just want to. Mm-hmm. But what is unique about the ola, I guess which would be most important for us today, I think, you'll see, is the fact that the ola is something that nobody eats.
Right.
It's a total destruction of the animal.
But that could also be, like when we're asking why does it say tzav?
Because yes.
I don't. I feel like we haven't discussed as much, but like there's definitely a Jewish concept not to waste.
Ah.
And so the idea of like, yes, it seems like this might be a waste because we're not burning it for the smell.
Batashchis.
Right. It doesn't say we're
there are little children in Africa who are starving. How could you not finish your peas?
Right. And we're not saying that it's burnt for the smell. So it's like, it may seem contrary that it's a waste, but you're commanded all of it.
Okay. So one answer we're finding our ways towards, which I like, is that maybe the reason why they need to be a tzav, right, a stronger command, is because it's something that seems contrary to our general approach, right? Usually we don't waste. That's not something we usually do. Okay, good, excellent. Any other thoughts about that? That's a good one. Let's go with that. Take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi, source number two. Tzav es Aaron, ein tzav ella lashon zirus. Miyad uladoro. So Rashi says, tzav always implies a certain, if you're being mizare someone, you have to give them encouragement, right? Mm-hmm. Give them encouragement to do it, meaning it's something that otherwise they might
skip.
They won't be as motivated. They don't feel motivated. So tzav always comes because there's some reason why I feel otherwise unmotivated to do this. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shimon. And by the way, this is perhaps a separate point, but we'll see if we think it's a separate point or not. Amar Rabbi Shimon, b'yoser tzarech ha-kasav lezareis b'makom sheyesh bo chisaron kis. There's a more of a read, a need to give proper encouragement for people to follow through and do the mitzvah when that mitzvah involves chisaron kis. What's chisaron kis?
Financial loss.
He's
going to
lose out on it.
Financial loss in some way.
By not eating.
Chisaron kis is sometimes, it's a question that many, the Rashi's quoting of Edrash. So all the Mefarshim quote this, many of them, quote this Rabbi Shimon and this whole conversation and ask the question, like, who's Chisaron kis? Why Chisaron kis? Why is this such a big deal?
Money. Money, with all of them,
money right? It's money anyways. Like, what's happening here? So I want to take you through a few different explanations as to what exactly this Chisaron kis is all about. But before I tell you what people say, what would you say? What's like this one way to understand, or maybe a few ways to understand this idea that you need more be mizares people when there's financial loss at stake? What does that mean in this context?
That even though there will be Chisaron kis, this is how you're going to do it.
Well, what's the Chisaron kis?
There's an implication that like this is a... As I'm reading this, there's kind of an implication that like this may seem like a waste.
Right.
Okay, so one possibility is the Chisaron kis is that like it feels like you're losing money when you bring a korban ola.
Like Like, imagine someone was doing an experiment, and for the experiment, they ripped the $10. Yeah. It's
like,
right. You couldn't do
anything. Well, yeah, right, right.
Like,
right.
You had to actually rip a real $10.
Right. Why'd you have this? Why'd you have to waste it that way? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's chisarkis, and that, it might feel like uncomfortable and weird. Or weird is a bad word. That's not a bad word. It's not descriptive.
Right.
It's counterintuitive. It doesn't feel like in line with our values. It seems misaligned, this activity. And that's why maybe we need... no, it's something different.
Well, I could think of many more things that we spend, that someone might choose to spend a lot of money on.
Yes.
Because it's mildar.
Right.
That there are hungry people that could use... Right.
When I gave that example when I gave the example of the starving children in Africa, I don't think that's not the actual pshat in Batashas. Batashas technically comes, you know, the Torah tells us when you're setting up you want to have a battering ram to break into a city that you have laid siege to. Don't cut down the fruit trees. Cut down the non-fruit trees, because by cutting down the fruit trees, you're destroying something that can bring forth fruit. So it's a waste. You use regular trees. That's the technical. That's the actual case the Torah talks about for Batashas. Yes, it has other implications for not wasting. You don't just destroy things for no reason. We don't do that. That's included in Batashas. It's an extension, but you know, like, it's a good question. One time I actually. Whatever. It is a good question whether, what?
you gotta
I talked about this one time, like, publicly. I mentioned about that, and I used, like, not, you know, throwing out leftovers as batashas. And someone questioned me. I thought they were correct. Like, and it's not necessarily clear that's technically a violation of batashas. It could depend. You know, it's not so obvious. But the point being, yes, there's the general concept about batashas is that we are careful. The Chazal talks about, you know, Yaakov Avinu, when he fights Esav, right? He fights the Sarash Esav. What was he doing? He's going back to pick up Pachim Katanim, the small jars they left behind. Because a Jew doesn't, you know, we don't waste. We have something from Hashem, so we appreciate what we have. We don't, right? That's why we're stingy, maybe, but we're cheap. but that cheapness, right? And taken in the proper context and in the proper way, could actually mean it's an appreciation. We don't just throw things away. We don't just, right? You don't want to be, we're not expected to be hoarders, right? But we keep things that are, but we recognize the value in even things that otherwise others may see as valueless. Fine. But the bottom line is, so what is this? So one possibility is you need zeros because it feels like a waste. That's not comfortable for us. Yeah.
It feels, where my question is now, is this idea of chisaron kis, like, we just had Bnei Israel giving so much. They gave to the Mishkan. Now we're talking about karbanot and different levels. So I'm wondering, like, why is this the bar? Why is this what we're talking about? Like, now it's going to feel like a financial burden. Like, there have been a lot of things that we've spoken about that have been
good.
All of a sudden financial burdens on Bnei Israel. What makes this?
But when you go to the Mishkan, you could see the beauty of it.
You could see what you did, what you've invested.
You see what you did.
Right, get something out of it. Okay, that's fair. But let's see. You're going to see it's not, this is not, you know, one size fits all. There's a lot of approaches here. So take a look. And our favorite, Rabbi Sirotzkin, source number 3, or one of our favorites, I should say. Rabbi Sirotzkin, one of mine. He writes the following. Ella, Ein Sav Ella Zirus, source number 3. Miyad Uldoros. Am Rabbi Shimon, Biosa, he quotes this medrash. Fine. Kol Davar Chadash, Yesh Lo Mefakpakim, Vitzarech Zirus. Anytime you are starting something new, right, there are those who say, I don't know, Mefakpakim means those who are like, uncertain about it, right? You're starting something new. People are like, I don't know. Is it going to go anywhere? Should we really do this? I don't know. And you need a little encouragement, right? Aval rak miyad ad shi yisragel ha'amala elav. Only at the beginning, though. Meaning if it's going to go well, so you need to, like, sometimes, like, get something going. Then once it gets going, if it's going to do well, then it goes, right? It doesn't need constant chizik all the time, right? Aval achakach kasher yitkadesh ayidei hadoros. But once it becomes kind of like, you know, set up now for generations, and it was a cook all the zeros. It doesn't need as much zeros anymore. It just kind of like goes. Okay. You could argue that there are, you know, we always need some zeros. Sometimes you need a little recharge on things. But in general, things, you get it going. If it gets going, then it's good. Aval davar sheyesh bo chisaron kis. Something that involves losing money. Kamo ha'ola she'ena kohanim ne'anin mibisaras. Okay, he gets one. If you talk about the Ola, what's happening? Remember who we're talking to. We're talking to the Kohen. Is the Kohen bringing the Korban Ola?
No.
The person.
Well, the Kohen is bringing the Olah.
On behalf
he's doing
of
the work.
Right.
But he brings it on behalf of a Jew.
Yeah.
Right. Stam Yeruvain shows up and he wants to bring a Korban Olah. So now Shlomi HaKohen is going to bring it for him.
Literally.
Right? I was when I was in Israel, I went to the three the VR thing, the virtual reality of the Beis HaMikdash. You guys seen that before?
Wow.
It is really cool. And it's not expensive. It's right like when you're walking in like that, like if you're walking down to the Kotel, like right on your left side, it's really cool. And if you and when, and they have like these like delineations, and one of the places like where like the space at which the Yisrael can go, and like only the Kohanim go from there. And you see how like you'd stand right here, and like they just step up to the to where the Mizbeach is, which is outside. So the Mizbeach is outside, and you could stand right there, and the Kohen would take it from you, and you could see like that's where Smicha would take place. Like it was I thought it was amazing. But it gave me a sense of like, when you hand it off to the Kohen, you actually still watch. You can still watch what he's doing, but you stop at some point, right? You hand it over to the Kohen. So the point is that the Kohen is the one doing this. So who needs the zeros here?
The Kohen.
The Kohen. It's not for the regular Jew who brings the Korban. Interesting, right? It's very good. It's for him. But what's the chisaron kiss then? What's the loss of money?
Well, the Kohen's not getting any support.
There's no commission on this one. There's no commission on this one, right? You ever go to, you know, Macy's, right? And you just want to do a return? And they're like, oh, you go to her, she'll take care of you. Right? Why?
No commission.
Because I'm not getting anything out of it, right? They still work on commission, Macy's? They used to, right? So like, they probably still do. So like, right? That's less exciting. I'm not going to be as smiley in it, right? It's harder to do because I'm not getting anything out of it. Right? Sorry, zeros after you lose. And that you need forever. Right? When you're going to, we're not getting it. You're losing here. You're losing money in a certain sense. Right? You're not gaining. So then you need a little more zeros. And you need that, says Ritzrotskin, that you kind of need all the time. Right? It's a harder thing for people. Then that's the nature of humanity. Rabbi Shimon bar Rak lefarish divrei. It's chazal, really. Shlefigach tzrichim ha-kohanim zeros. This is why he's saying Rav Shimon is explaining Tzav Miyala the Doros. I asked you, is that Rashi two different pieces or is it one piece? I want to argue that the first line in Rashi is Ein Tzav El Lashon Zeros Miyad Uladaros. It's right away and continually. Why says Rabbi Shimon? Because it's a chisaron kiss.
Not going to get used to it.
Right. Well, you're going to always have this kind of inner battle about it.
And so that's okay. So that the Kohanim should feel like it's a commandment, and like you're.
I know you're not. You're a lot of times you're going to show up, and whoever shows up, and Mrs. Schwartz brings the Kohen. Oh, that's exciting! She brought an ox. This is going to be. We're going to have a good lunch today, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to when she shows up with an olah, and you're like, "All right, right. That's not as exciting. Maybe you do that one, right? That's not going to be as exciting, right?" So therefore, it needs shetzafichach tzrichem haKohanim zeros beHakravas haOlah afil ledoros mipeshi yesh b'chisaron kiss because they're losing out. ShaKohanim nehanim mikol korban veHaOlah maktirin kaliol. They get something from every korban, but not from the olah. VeHazirus hazeh ases haKohanim zerizim ledor vechin amru Kohanim zerizim heim. Right. So this idea, it's the general concept that Kohanim zerizim heim. You know a Kohen in your life, your Kohanim have a lot of pep. Typically, right? They're very excited to stand up for Dvar Hashem. So, Mila Hashem Elai. That's Levim also, but they're part of Levim. So, but the point is that's how Rav Suratskin reads this Rashi. Right? Tzav Miyad Ledoros. Why is it right away and ongoing? And what's the Chisaron Kiss? They're related. The Chisaron Kiss is the lack of the benefit that the Kohen gets, and that's why it needs constant Chizik all the time. Fine. And that's why it's Tzav specifically by the Ola and not by the Shlomim or the Chatas or anything else. Fine. Take a look at the Gur Aryeh, source number 4. The Gur Aryeh is from the Maharal in Prague. The Maharal wrote a Perush on Rashi called the Gur Aryeh. We almost never quote the Gur Aryeh. I don't know if you ever have before. But it's very, very, at times, very, very beautiful. So it's always beautiful, but I'm saying. There are pieces that are great to share. So Gur Aryeh writes the following. I remember Shim B'Yoser. Vim Tomar. Hare Khan Ein Chisaron Kisla Kohen. Shiyomar Lashon Tzav. He goes, I don't know, that's not really a chisaron kiss. Because again, how would you usually explain the language of a chisaron kiss?
You lose your own money.
You lose money. Right? The Kohen's not losing money. Right? V'yesh lomar deshapir ika chisaron kiss. No, there is a chisaron kiss. Why? Mishim dahaya ha'avoda mutal ala Kohen. Who was responsible for the avoda?
The Kohen.
Okay. V'haya bishvil zeh mivatel mimlachto. Okay? And he could decide to... not do his work if he wants to, right? Velochi yisar in kis gomer beinan. Doesn't have to mean he's actually losing money. Ela kohechi sheyia gorim lo chisarim b'mamon ka'amar shu chisarim kis. Meaning he's just saying the lack of a benefit, right? The lack of gaining something could be called chisarim kis. And he gives other examples of this idea with the language of chisaron, or the language of tzav is used when someone's losing out on an opportunity for something. So like
opportunity cost.
Opportunity cost. Right. Yes, that's good. Here's an example. Look.
If he's doing this, he can't do something else. So that's
Good. We're gonna get we're gonna see that also. Yes, excellent. So take a look. Here's another example. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down the Maharal towards the middle of the line. Tzavis b'nei Yisrael v'yishalchu mina machaneh. Okay, there, that's a halacha. You're supposed to send out anyone has saras, anyone's a zav, you'd send them out of the machaneh. They're tamei. Okay? Ad chutz min echar ki atem ba'yim ala eretz kanan. So shenamar le'inan zeros chiluk arts. Fine. But if I ray, ein v'yishalchu mina machaneh chisaron kis. He goes, well, that case is not chisaron kis. If you send the tzarua, or the guy with the tzaras, or the zav out of the machaneh, because it's a tamei. Right, or the person with tzaras has to be isolated to learn what it means to be around society, etc. Right, so el dezeh nikra chisaron kis shlo hay beveso lasos mlachto. So exactly what you said. What's the chisaron kis of the mitzora? He gets sent out of his house. He now can't get his work done, and he can't do anything. He's gonna be yoshev butta. He's gonna sit around doing nothing. Right, that's chisaron kis. Okay, he didn't actually have to pay money. Right, but he's going to lose out on the opportunity to make more. Right, he's losing that chance. Right, hachinami nikra ze chisaron kis mash hayetzarech hakohen levatel melachto lasos haola. So same thing. The kohen, yeah, he's going ahead and he's doing the ola. What could he be doing otherwise? You're smiling at me, it's so cute. what could he be doing otherwise? By the way, the kohen didn't work at the Beis Hamikdash all year.
Right, like, so they had jobs, and then they went...
They had other jobs. Yeah, they had a different job. They had a different job. They didn't own property.
Right.
Kohanim Levim, the tribe of Levim didn't own property. But you were only at the Beis HaMikdash maybe like 2 weeks of the year. It was 24 mishmaros of the Kohanim. Mm-hmm. They would swap every week or two. Wow. And you would only be there for a couple of weeks. And you were actually there at the Beis HaMikdash as a volunteer, actually. Right? You didn't get paid. I don't think you got paid to do your job. That was your responsibility. Okay, as a volunteer, it was your tzivoy to do so, but you weren't getting paid. But he had other things he could be doing, right? And instead he's doing this. So if he's getting food, so cool. But if he's not, he's doing nothing. He's doing this really for free, right? Mm-hmm. So because he's doing it for free and he's just doing his job, so that's called chisaron kis. And when that happens, what happens? A person needs a little more.
It's a week off without pay compared to.
It's a week off without pay. Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't and it an honor?
It yes.
To be in that position.
And yeah.
Easy to forget that.
Yeah, yeah. It is an honor. I think it's an honor. So I could never do it. I'm not a Kohen. I would love that opportunity.
Well, why is it chisaron kis?
Well, couldn't it be both? Mm-hmm. Could it be that sometimes you do something that's an honor, and you're also absolutely losing money or other opportunities to do in order to do that honorific thing? Yeah. Absolutely.
That's why it's l'dar v'dar, because at the beginning, I got an honor, and I'm a Kohen. And then later on, I'm a Kohen.
It needs, and every door, it needs a little chizik. By the way, because if you're a Kohen, there's also things, the other things you lose out on, right? Little Johnny the Kohen who can't go with his friends to the Met or whatever.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Kohen moms know this challenge for their children.
Kohen can't go to the Met because of the not mommy.
Whatever, there's all kinds of things. The mummies exhibits and things. And you lose out. Even though it's an honor, an opportunity, there are things that you can't do.
All
the Kohen moms in attendance know all this.
Never thought of that.
Yeah.
You would.
Okay.
You were surrounded by Kohanim.
Let's keep going. Okay, so far, what have we seen? So far, we saw Rashi. And we saw those nine. But Torah tells us this Rashi is, chisaron kis. Why? Because the Kohen usually gets good barbecue, and now he's not getting it. It's totally for not, it's for free, and that's hard. The Gurai says, forget that. Everything the Kohen does, actually, is pretty much for free. And that needs constant chizik when you're doing something as a volunteer, even if it's an honor. It's hard. Good. Good.
The coin works to see
it. Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's a full time job. It's not shoveling.
They have all the shit.
It's one of the miracles in the mission.
It's like a very limited thing.
All the coins.
No. We don't need them all.
Right.
How many people are coming back? You know? You don't think about
it.
There's 24 mishmaros of Kohanim. They're each one they're part of different families, and they would rotate.
The same order.
They lived in different towns. Yeah, that's how they decided which people were. That's how. By the way, this is how Tefillah B'Tzibur started. Was that the people from the town where your Kohanim went, they would gather that week and they would fast and they would daven together as a group. This is before there was, formal Tefillah B'Tzibur. And they would do this.
They didn't sing all year round?
Levim, I think, also had rotations, I think. So, yeah, I think also. Okay, good. If you learn nothing else, you'll learn that today. Okay.
Definitely.
There you go. Okay. That's the biggest chiddush of the day. Good. This is what happens when you learn.
Well, didn't they have to start making a schedule because some of them got hurt?
Yes, they would fight, they would run and bump into each other.
What did they wear when they weren't Kohanim?
Regular clothes.
Regular clothes?
Regular clothes, yeah. We needed one of those emojis today, right? Okay. Blew your mind. Okay. There you go. Source number five. Take a look at the Rav. The Rav's going to say something, but I had something that I thought about as I read this piece in the Rav. But, okay. Tzav is Aaron. The Torah often uses variants of the word tzav in discussing service in the Mishkan. For example, v'yatate tzaveh. That we have other places where the language is not tzav, but also a command. Rashi on this verse provides the following background. The word tzav is meant to express urgency for both the immediate moment and for future generations. The Torah must especially express urgency in a situation where there's a loss of money. Many mitzvot can involve monetary loss. Why is the word tzav used specifically in the context of the sacrifices? The loss of money is intrinsic to certain mitzvos, such as the mitzvah of giving charity. Thus, the verse states, command the children of Israel that they shall give to the tzavis b'nei Yisrael, they shall give to the Levites from their hereditary possessions, cities in which to dwell. Okay, that's another example. That they would give the Levim places to live, that's tzav. The word tzav is used when a loss of assets is intrinsic to the mitzvah. Offering a sacrifice similarly involves such a loss of assets, any korban. Rashi uses the term zeros or urgency in describing how this mitzvah is to be fulfilled. There's an urgency associated with mitzvahs that involve monetary loss. What is the meaning of the word lidoros for future generations in this context? The mitzvahs of mezuzah, tefillin, and Shabbos are clearly lidoros, so they're always for generations. Thousands of years have gone by, and these mitzvahs are observed as they had been when they were originally given. But in what way are the mitzvahs of the Mishkan practiced today? There has been no korban tamid for almost 2,000 years. In what sense does the mitzvah of offering korbanos continue? The Gemara and Megillah recounts a conversation between Hashem and Avram in the context of Bris Bein Abisarim, the covenant between the pieces. Avram asked how he was to know that God would not forsake Israel if they sinned. Hashem answered, in the merit of the temple sacrifices. Avram insisted that this merit is fine when these sacrifices are in existence. But what's to happen after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Hashem replied that the children of Israel learned the laws surrounding the sacrifices. He would consider their study as a virtual sacrificial offering. When we cannot offer sacrifices, we recite the halachos pertaining to them as a substitute, which we actually do as part of the davening evening, right? We do that for every musaf. We actually say the korban, and even every morning, there's an idea of saying korbanos every single day. Rabbi Kron likes to say, very often korbanos get sacrificed because people don't. Sorry, it's not mine. It's not mine. I don't say that. I don't say that, but. Korbanos is harder. It takes, right? But by the way, for the same reason, it doesn't feel as practical. So people don't, you have a harder time with it. There's a mikdash.
They skip it, they don't teach it to the little kids.
It's hard, yeah. There's a mikdash in our days as well. Not physically, but through halachic study. This is the Mesorah of the Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral law. Today we read Parshas Shkalim as if the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. It is Lidoros. Parshas Par reminds us to be ritually pure so we may bring the Korban Pesach. Although we no longer offer Korban Pesach, we read Parshas Para, as if the Beis HaMikdash still exists. I just think it's very nice. It's a separate point in terms of the tzav is the loss of money piece. Right? But the Lidoros, why would Lidoros apply specifically to Korbanos? Because Korbanos would be lost. And if we didn't learn them, we would have no idea. Right? How much of, Shabbos, right. Kashrus, kids know, like, right, if they grow up in a firm house, they learn experientially, right? They may not learn Shulchan Aruch about each one of the 39 melachos. They should. But they maybe not, but they would still get it. They chap, they understand. This is muksa, this is a malacha, this is that they've heard it. They know because they live it, right? Korbanos, not a chance. Mm-hmm. They've never seen it before, they never will see it. But we have actually quite a bit of conversation about korbanos. First, we have korbanos in davening every day. It's the thing that people know that they skip, even if they skip it. But at least they know they skip it, by the way. I'm being serious. Mm-hmm. Many of us don't skip it, but even if you skip it a little bit, so you skip parts of it, they know it's such a thing. And we have parsha after parsha after parsha about the korbanos, and we learn about the korbanos as we get how much of the seder is about the korban pesach, which we've never seen before, but we talk about as if we do. You could actually imagine, you probably in your head can imagine what the korban pesach looks like, right? But how can you do that? You never saw it before. Because you've imagined it in your head so many times.
Because we were there.
Because you okay. Also, because you were there. But right, sometimes you actually ever have a memory that you actually it's not your memory. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right. But and the memory can sometimes. First of all, you can steal someone else's memory because they've told it to you. Right. But it could also happen because you've imagined something so many times.
Right. Yep.
And the korbanos for us is litzav. It needs a zero is ledoros. And for sure, Chazal understood the importance of that and have continued to require that. We teach about korbanos so that it doesn't get lost. And that way it shows up again.
How do you take that so seriously? You know, not to go to a cemetery and other
things. Yeah, the halacha remains. But yeah.
They
yeah.
won't go on certain flights right. and know they could be amazing.
Right.
And I always say, not out loud, when Mashiach comes, they're going to have to do all this anyway.
Right.
But I think it's so special to them that to be in the mindset of I'm not allowed to do this.
Yes.
Even though I
correct.
Can't
even
not
or
do
how many years after anyone.
The halachos of a, just to be clear, the halachos of a kohen not becoming tameh is actually still halacha today. He can't
right.
be. He can't go right. ahead and be tameh himself. You're right. It's so that he can work in the base. I mean, it's a separate halacha. But you are correct. There's such a kohanim's reason here, right? There's a certain right. For Kohanim, because they know that they have this. There's a story about the Chavetz Chaim that I forget who told the story. Someone met the Chavetz Chaim and they said something like the Chavetz Chaim said to him, something like, you should be jealous of me. There's not the Chavetz Chaim's manner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he should be jealous. He said, why? He goes, because when the Mashiach comes, I'm gonna work in the Beis HaMikdash. And I was like, okay. But like, the point being that it was like so real for him.
Yeah.
Right, that it was like, this is gonna work. We're gonna do this.
Men love that, some keys. That was part of.
They say that the Rav Kook also had met the Chavetz Chaim. Rav Kook was also a Kohen, and that he like started. They have learning kachim. They have today. To this day, they have kachim kolos. They learn the halachas of kachim. Why? So that when the Beis Hamikdash comes back, we'll be able to do this, and they're gonna know what to do.
Kohanim allowed to go to those
kachim? No, but the point being, it's an opportunity, right? But yeah. Awesome. Okay, let's take a look at one more. This is Rav Druk, Torah number 6. I don't think we've ever quoted Rav Druk in the
what?
In yes, the we have. Sorry. I quote Rav Druk on Shabbos a lot.
Oh,
I quote Rav Druk on Shabbos a lot.
I feel like you like him.
I say his name. No, I quote Rav Druk a lot in shul. I just don't always.
Who was he?
We don't.
From when?
Rav Druk is alive now. Okay. His father. So a Rav. I'm not like where he's from. I don't even know. Yerushalayim, maybe. I'm not sure. I actually don't know. But I love Rav Druk's Torah. I love it. You know that someone's Torah is becoming popular when they start to have English versions of it.
Uh-huh.
So they have Rav Druk on Shavuos, Rav Druk on the Haggadah, the Rav Druk Haggadah.
So
yeah,
like
it's beautiful. Yeah, it's amazing. So I'll tell you one other idea from Rav Druk. Hinei inyan ze shehutrach Moshe lezarei says Aaron. Is there no chizkuni here?
No. Is
that your grandfather? No, but that is so weird.
It wasn't copied?
No. It's my mistake. I thought I put it on the sheet. Okay. Because the Chizkuni says something else. I'm going to tell you outside the Chizkuni says. Chizkuni says something different. All this Chisaron Kiss, until now, we've talked about is what the Kohen loses out. The Chizkuni says something amazing. I'm sorry that you're not going to see it inside. He says like this. He says, it's a different Chisaron Kiss. If you're a Kohen, and you go ahead and you take someone's animal and you shecht it, and you mess up, what happens?
It comes out of your paycheck?
He's got to do it. He's got to bring it again.
Yeah, his paycheck.
It's not on you. It's not on you. The guys are bringing it again. Okay?
Huh.
Yesh bo chisaron kis is not my. Not what I'm going to lose.
Being careful for someone else.
You need zeros in what? Someone else's money.
Gonna.
You're dealing with someone else's money, says the chizkuni. Okay? and when you're dealing with someone else's money, that needs constant zeros, biyad ledaros. Why? It's totally true. If you ever had this experience, you're dealing with somebody that you're paying for. So what happens? All of a sudden, you're super careful. All of a sudden, once someone else is paying for it, so I'm sure it'll be fine, right? When it's your money, you're very careful. When it's someone else's money, somehow we sometimes become a little less...
I feel like the opposite. Like, I'm so much more nervous about ruining...
Ruining someone else's
like
stuff.
If I borrow something someone,
that's true.
Mine, I can always replace.
That's true, but if they not really, let's say they're not really gonna know, right? They're like they're paying for it. Someone else is paying for it. It's on someone else's tab. So if I spend an extra $10,
you know, take too much on my plate.
But someone else is paying for it. Right. I don't mean correct. We're more careful not to ruin someone's thing. But to a certain extent, like if it's not on my tab. It doesn't bother us as much, right? So it's two sides of the same coin almost. One is like he's so in kiss of when you're losing your own money, so then I know even though I'm gonna lose, I gotta do it anyways. The other side, which I think is so nice, is what you need zeros when Yesh Baruch he's so in kiss, not to you. Someone else is going to lose. Mm-hmm. It needs a little more thoughtfulness, which I think is very beautiful. Yeah. Okay, and I think let's see what Jerk's going to say. I think it's related to this.
Wait, but can I have a question on that?
Yes.
So why is that particularly relevant for Karmah Ola?
It should be all of them, right?
Case of the bridge.
It's true.
No, because the coin isn't...
Like, yeah, bring the big box, a big bowl.
But you could say...
He's going to eat some of it. No, because then if he's going to eat some of it, the Kohen, that's his dinner, his lunch, whatever, then he wants to barbecue it correctly.
I have nothing to lose. I have nothing to lose. If I'm the Kohen and I mess up, so it's an Ola anyways.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you mess up the Ola?
No, you shechta. You shechta. You make a mistake in the Shechita.
Oh, it's still an Ola.
So it's not kosher anymore.
Okay. Right, and you have to throw it away.
Never mind.
Right, exactly. So meaning, if it's you could argue it's specifically by an Ola because in the Ola I have less to gain by doing it right. Right. Take a look at our joke. Makes no sense. It's Aaron and his sons. They need zeros. It's an honor and a privilege. Why? They're going to make a mistake. They're not going to do it right. Avodas HaMishkan ve'esek HaKorbanos rak mishum sheyesh b'chisaron kis v'chiyesh la'kesef erech v'chashivus b'yachos etzifa Hashem. Money? Have any money? This is Avodas Hashem. It's working the base of me. That's what keeps our money. Esma u'madua lo da'ilehem be'etzem atzivu al korbanos ha'chitzarech lezarzem od al'chisaron kis shebedav. It's a beautiful way to ask the question. Like, ridiculous. Who cares about what? V'kushya zu kasha af l'shitis ha'ramban. He explains why it was even called the Ramban. It's a problem. Shazirez osam al korban aron ubanav sheish b'chisaron kis l'kohanim, right, even for themselves. Vupela v'chiyesh chashash yitu aron ubanav hakadoshim achar mamon v'isatzu machmas kein ba'avodas hakorban. They're not going to do it right because they're not going to get anything from it. Halo ena kesef nechshav le'meuma b'melkom tzivoy Hashem. Money is nothing when it comes to what Hashem asked you to do. Uperish avi mori zichrono l'vracha. My father, he says, gave the, I think it's Rav Mordechai Druck was his father. Of course, he was going to do Hashem what Hashem wanted. B'simcha. V'chein banav and his children too. They're not going to, feel bad about losing money. Then that's not going to happen. V'afilu yafsidu mamon rav b'shvat tzivah Hashem. They lose a lot of money. Ein chashash sheyeshno afilu b'kahu ze mimash nisav. Not going to hold back. V'ela siba shehutzrech lezarzam einu b'avor mamon atzam. It's not going to hold money. It's everyone else's money. He says, see, the Kohen sees a person who needs to bring an Ola. He doesn't have a lot of money, this guy. He sees. He's going to feel bad for that guy. He'll say to the guy, don't bring an Ola. Bring a Shlamim. Kach yiyalo bo. Because what's he going to say? Who's going to eat the shlamim? Not just the Kohen. Who else eats the shlamim? The person himself. He's going to say, Ani, say to the guy, no, it's hard for you. Don't bring an Ola, because he can choose.
Right.
Bring a shlamim. It's going to be more geschmack for you. Mm. He feels bad for that guy. That's what this is about, okay? Lekach nitzav Moshe Rabbeinu lezarza machmas chisar nakish shel acherim. Beautiful. He says, don't worry about the other person's, what they're not going to get.
Yeah.
Okay? Or for yourself. It's a, this is the third way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. That you might try to convince someone to bring a korban that's better for them. Mm-hmm. And remind him, don't do that. Do the guy alone. Let him bring what he wants to bring. He wants to bring an olah, that's like amazing. He wants to bring an olah. And don't like make him feel bad about it. Don't, because you're looking out for his benefit because you feel bad that he's losing all this money. Don't feel bad. Let him have the elevation that he wants. Yeah.
Why would let's say someone's poor, why would they bring an olah in place of a shlam? Is that
an olah is like choice? More dedication.
Okay.
An olah is like considered like at a higher level, maybe it's the language of olah, right? Because you get nothing from it.
So I'm thinking also like the conversation from last week, there's no like bar of you're allowed to bring this, you're allowed to bring this. It's you like making your
deciding for yourself. Right, correct. So this person's like, this guy like wants to be. I'm trying to use that not to make a pun. He wants to give more, right? He wants to give more, and the Kohen might say like you know, my friend, like it's okay. Like you don't have to do that. You could give a shlamim and then you can have lunch.
Uh-huh.
And so the Yibon Shem says no. Savas Aaron, tell him not to worry so much about somebody else. Let him do what's really good for him in the end. Right? Let him do his thing. So the bottom line is what comes out from all this is that it's really like what's happening here, and I think it has so many different ramifications, right? But Aleph, it has ramifications for ourselves, right? We're often seeing a time of a mitzvah, there's a lot of chisaron kiss. Mm-hmm. Pesach, there's a lot of chisaron kiss, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I think that sometimes we feel, it is hard. It's hard. It's, by the way, it's hard to know, like, how much am I investing in a mitzvah and how much am I throwing money away? Okay, so you have to be careful with that also. But that's how it works for me, by the way. It's like, I feel, that's why like, I love when like, I don't know, if I could, like, go to bingo and like go, it's great, and I feel like I got the right deals. So fine, but like...
But then when you go to the cash register, you're like, no, I was wrong
about that. My point is that if I feel like I went to a place where I like I was efficient...
You got your value.
If I was efficient, yeah. So then whatever's after that, I didn't waste money.
Uh-huh.
Then the rest of it is I invested. In Pesach, right? But if I feel like I threw it away, the on top of what I needed to do, so that's when I feel bad, right? But my point being, there is a value, and it's hard. I think it's very hard. I include myself in this challenge. When we feel like it's a lot, it's hard. It's hard to feel like I felt like, you know, there's memes around, like, you know, poor men's bread is being sold for $40 a pound. Yeah. Like, it's more expensive. It's more expensive than. Right, yeah. But right, that's a challenge. But I think that Tzav, the Lashon Zeros, we need. You shouldn't feel bad that it's hard. Because you need zero. You need a little zeros when it's Darvish Yesh Boch Chisaron Kiss. I think on the other hand, I think it's also a very beautiful idea that we need a, sometimes it's important to have zeros when we are recognizing the Chisaron Kiss of somebody else. And there are other ways. There are all kinds of scenarios where we spend other people's money, right? Even not practically, but maybe in terms of there's all kinds of ways that we do that, right? Mm-hmm. Socially, etc. And sometimes we don't think as much about how this impacts other people, the standards that we set, all kinds of things that again, I'm not spending someone's money, but you know, in May we're having our next debate. Is on this topic, actually. Mm-hmm. Social spending.
Is this our annual?
Yes, thing? Yes. David Schwartz.
Wait, we're not saying who the speakers are yet.
I don't think it's officially announced yet. I don't think it's officially announced. But it's a great topic because, I don't think there's one answer to this question, but I think, to me, with all these things, it's not about the answer. It's about the question. Are we asking the question, right? How do we spend other people's money at times by the way that we make decisions? And I think in general, I think beautifully the other way. How do we sometimes take a person who maybe wants to do more and we hold them back? Mm-hmm. That we want to save them the chisaron kiss, but maybe they want that, right? And how do we make sure that we encourage others to do the things that they want to do, even if it's a challenge for them, and maybe we shouldn't put them down and we shouldn't make them feel like it's not, you know, what do you mean? You don't have to do that. But maybe they want to do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe that investment, whether that's money or time or energy or, you know, whatever it's going to be in their avodas Hashem is something that they want to invest. even if it's a chisaron for them. It sometimes takes a sacrifice that has value, and we shouldn't look down on people who want to make that investment in their own way also. Yeah.
Is there any, you know, people say like, oh, every penny you spend in a mitzvah, you'll get back. Is there any like halacha?
Shabbos. The Gemara says that's true by Shabbos. That it sells for Shabbos, Shabbos and Yom Tov, that is not included in your cheshbon for the year.
For your parnassah.
So Dovi Neuberger did a shtick like this about his father going to the supermarket.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Gemara says that how do you exactly explain that Gemara? How do you understand the Gemara? But yeah. That the Baruch Shalom gives us from Rosh Hashanah. You've been decided how much money you're going to make. You think that you got a raise. You think that you did this. You think you invested well. You think you did whatever. And the end of the day, that all that money was already decided from Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara says that the Hotzal Shabbos, the money you spend on Shabbos, I think Yom Tov also, is not included in that cheshbon. Meaning if you spend, again, I think it's, yeah, everyone would agree, right. If you spend inappropriately, that may not be true. But if you spend appropriately for Shabbos, you will get paid back. You will never know that you got it paid back. You'll never like be able to see it, right? But by the way, whenever I question for myself in this, we're going over time, but we're going to stop. Whenever I question myself in this thing, I always remind myself, like, you know, I just did X, Y, or Z, and then like something happened with my car, and it cost me like $1,200 or something. Mm-hmm. I'm like, got it. Like, right? Sometimes money just like disappears, uh-huh. And sometimes money just shows up, right? And we think it just shows up. And like, you know, an insurance thing, whatever, you got a check, like whatever, like things like randomly happen. A tax return you didn't expect, whatever, things happen. Like money shows up or money goes away and you're like, huh. And then you're like, ah. Oh. That's when I like have that moment. Yeah, like, you know what? I thought I knew exactly how much I have or how much is going to get taken away or how much I'm going to get. And like, you actually don't know. And then I remind myself that that's what Gemara says, that if you spend money, again, appropriately for Shabbos, then correct, you get it back. It's not taken out of that. At that cheshbon. But the bottom line is, I think these three takeaways: being willing to sacrifice a little bit ourselves, right, for our own chisaron kiss, being careful about how we spend other people's money, and then number three, I think also how we are sensitive to when someone else wants to invest and wants to do, that we shouldn't chalila ever push them away, make fun, make a joke. Instead, we should be mechazik their decision to want to do that for themselves. Okay.